The scripture lesson today comes from John 16, 12 through 15. Now, this is Jesus setting his disciples down and telling them about the Spirit. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. When the Spirit of the truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The next scripture verse comes from Psalm 8, the Psalm of David. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have found a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moons and the stars that you have established. What are humans that you are mindful of them, mortals that you take care of them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and have crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over your works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the path of the sea. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Well, it's Trinity Sunday, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. As I stand here this morning, I'm remembering what my mother used to say to me. Lynn, pay attention to what's going on around you. I heard that many times. I did not always understand. And there were probably many times that I just chose to ignore it. I just didn't listen. For 3 years, the disciples, as we heard in Scripture, and we've been hearing for several Sundays now, they had been experiencing the teaching of Jesus, and they weren't gaining a whole lot of understanding. Maybe they didn't have the full knowledge of just who Jesus really was, or maybe they just were not paying attention. Earlier in Scripture, Jesus spoke about the counselor and the advocate coming after he was gone. And then in verse 13 this morning, we heard Jesus say, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." So who is the Spirit of truth that Jesus is referring to? And how is it possible that he's going to be able to tell the future? Well, several times in this final teaching moment before Jesus was put to death, he told his disciples that he had to leave before the Holy Spirit could come, and that the Holy Spirit would come and help them to understand their future task in building the church. They needed to remember words and scriptures. They needed to remember actions, and they needed to remember places and how people responded, and they even needed to remember their own experiences and their own feelings. They needed to be aware and understand that the challenges that we're going to face were going to be rough, but they needed to be spiritually prepared for what was to come. So last week, we celebrated Pentecost. We celebrated the day that the Holy Spirit made His presence known in a very spectacular way. It would be impossible, and I wouldn't even attempt to try, to stand here and explain the Holy Spirit. Even Billy Graham wrote that in our finite minds, we cannot possibly comprehend the full meaning. But yet, we stand here on Sunday morning, and we affirm our belief in the Holy Spirit, and that that Holy Spirit is a person, and not just one, but three. He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a holy mystery. And as Christians, I wonder, should we try to solve something that we do not fully understand, or do we just need to believe that the Holy Spirit is real and that He's omnipresent? He's all-powerful. He offers us grace, mercy, and love, even when we don't deserve it. I think that's called faith, belief without seeing. In the Old Testament, we read stories of how Abraham and Sarah and Moses, Job and Jonah and David and so many more encountered the Holy Spirit. Their experiences led to promises being fulfilled, prayers answered, forgiveness received, and realizing just how faithful the Holy Spirit is. From their stories, we learn lessons. But we need our own personal experiences with God. We need to gain understanding to help in our daily decision making. In those moments, we want to do things our way, but God has a better plan. In fact, He has a purpose. It's in those moments that the truth brings understanding, when our minds are open for the future to be revealed. It's in those moments that we need to pay attention and listen. You know, God won't always speak in this loud, powerful way. If you remember, Elijah experienced God in that still, small voice. It was a gentle whisper. So how do we know if the voice is God's voice? That it's truly the Spirit of truth. Sometimes we can get caught up in today's society and think, well, if everybody else is doing it, it must be okay. But we need to be aware, because those are the dangerous times. Worldly thoughts will bring doubt, because worldly thoughts are carriers of doubt. God's voice brings a peace to our hearts and to our understanding, and helps us to discern the right from wrong, the truth from the false. In John 15, Jesus uses the vine and the branches as an example to show how to develop a special relationship with God. You know, we can go to Him anytime in prayer. That's how we connect. We can study Scripture, and through Scripture we gain knowledge. And as we use that knowledge and gain more and a deeper understanding, we find that in the future, wiser decisions can be made. Decisions that's going to affect our lives and the things that we do. Being connected to God is important to spiritual growth in faith. He's our Heavenly Father, but He's also our counselor. He's also our friend. He does not offer advice. He speaks the truth. And when we are listening for that answer, we will know exactly what God is saying to us. It may not be what we always want to hear, but God never gives us a wrong answer. Think about Andrew, who was a follower of John the Baptist. Andrew was seeking a deeper understanding of God when he heard John the Baptist say, "Behold, the Lamb of God And Andrew left and went to tell his brother Simon that he had found the Messiah. This experience led to Andrew becoming a disciple. And then there's Paul, who wanted to go to Spain, but instead he ended up in a prison cell. Paul was not the type to give up. He persevered, and he was always filled with joy. Paul never made it to Spain, but while he was in the prison, he had time to think, to meditate, and to write most of what we read in the New Testament. Paul's experiences made it to Spain via words, though he didn't. But it was those words that would become part of the Bible. God used Paul's prison experience to bring the truth into the world. And then our own John Wesley, whose missionary trip to Georgia just sort of flopped. He was searching for something that he lacked. He met a group of Moravians and discovered that they were experiencing something that he wanted to experience. He wanted to experience God the way they were experiencing it. And because of that encounter, Wesley had a heartwarming experience, which led to the birth of the Methodist Church. All three experienced the Spirit in a different way through a personal encounter, and their lives were changed. The same Spirit that brought truth and understanding to Andrew, Paul, and John Wesley is the very same Spirit that works in us. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will use others to guide us in a direction that we thought that we would never go. On a recent Sunday, I was feeling kind of restless and asking God, "What is it that you want me to do?" But on that same Sunday morning, Ken, is he here, still here? Ken, yeah, asked me to serve on the Women's Emmaus Walk. The Holy Spirit was working in our hearts at the same time. And that experience brought me to a new level of just how the Holy Spirit works and how He calls people together. Uncertainty is a time that we ask and listen for God's answers. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, we hear these words: "Ask and it will be given. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Asking and seeking leads to understanding and truth. And when we choose not to listen, we miss the blessing that God has planned for us. Experiences are important as we grow our relationship with God. They do not happen by chance. God has designed each one of them. Sometimes it takes a while for us to open our eyes and see, or maybe open our ears to hear. But He will reveal His purpose, because God's timing is never off. We cannot see the Holy Spirit, but we can see what His hands have made and continue to make in the everyday of our lives. In the sunrise, in the buzzing of a bee, in the smell of the honeysuckle, in the stillness of the night, and even in the excitement of catching a firefly. The Holy Spirit is in places even before we arrive. We're going to experience sadness as we journey on our spiritual path, but we will never be alone, regardless of how dark things seem. I found words to a song this week. It's called "Father in My Life I See." There are three verses, but the only word that changes is the first word. It goes Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But this morning I'm going to give you part of that song. It says, "Father, in my life I see, you are God who walks with me. You hold my life in your hands. Close beside you I will stand. I give all my life to you. Help me, Father, to be true. So back to the Trinity Sunday. Last week we did the celebration of the arrival of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. So how do we celebrate Trinity Sunday? It's not an event. It's a doctrine and a belief. And some churches simply pass over it. Some ministers do not want to address the Holy Spirit. But if it's important to be in our church calendar, then it should be recognized. So at Pentecost, there was this great praise and worship. And those present were excited about experiencing the fire in the wind, because there has been a promise fulfilled. The church, you might say, began in a very noisy way. I'm not sure that the excitement of today is at the same level that it was 2,000 years ago. But nonetheless, today needs to be a time for praise and adoration. Praise and adoration for the Father, God, the Creator of our lives, to Jesus, the Son, the Redeemer in our lives, and the Holy Spirit, who brings God's presence, who brings God Himself into our lives. Monday and Tuesday night at conference, our former bishop, James Swanson, preached. How many of you all have heard James Swanson preach? Well, if you haven't heard him, then you need to find an opportunity if he ever comes back to this area, because you just can't sit there and not move. He dances. I'm not going to dance, but he dances. He creates noise. But it wasn't all the movement. It's what he said that touched my heart. He walked down the aisles. He walked to the people. He had the fire and the wind at his back. The Holy Spirit was using the bishop to carry God's message. As he was walking down those aisles, he was saying, "I'm talking to you. Do you hear me talking to you?" That wasn't James Swanson speaking. That was the Holy Spirit speaking through him. He was the messenger that night. The Holy Spirit was talking to each person there. And if you didn't hear it, then you needed to be pinched, because you must have been asleep. But I believe that each received a reminder of just how God's church needs to be. We need to be alive. We need to be excited. It was a very stirring and spiritual experience, and it definitely kept my attention. In our Psalms today, Psalm 8, we hear these words at the beginning and at the end. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name. The purpose of creation is to magnify and declare the beauty and glory of God. God is worthy of our daily praise because he is constant in our lives. He is no, let's say, there. Loving this world is no small act. Sometimes humans are hard to love. But humans are also just a small speck in this universe. And yet, every one of us are loved by God. And He cares for us by offering us love, mercy, and grace. You know, many have never experienced God. So we have that responsibility to share the truth of who God is by carrying the Great Commission out into the world. And it is then that we can give thanks to God for the abundance that we share. God's grace for us begins before we ever know Him, even before we're born. Our relationship with God begins when we experience His forgiveness. It is God's grace that brings heart-changing, transforming experiences. And it is God who brings young, immature Christians to deeper faith and understanding of who He is. He prepares us for the future because He loves us. As the new week begins, full of positive and negative charges all around us, it is a good and right thing to offer our thanksgiving and praise at the beginning and at the end of each day and many times in between. Because it's God's energy that empowers us to make it through each day. And only He deserves the glory. Let us pray. Everlasting God, You have revealed Yourself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and ever live and reign in the perfect unity of love. Grant that we may always hold firmly and joyfully to this faith, and living in praise of Your divine majesty, may finally be one in You, who are three persons in one God, forever and ever. Amen.